All right, I'd like to call to order, please, the Personnel Committee, Rancho Marietta Community Services District. This is our regular meeting. It's March 13, 2025, 9:30 a.m. I am Director Steve Booth. With me is Director Linda Butler. Also present are our Chief of Plant, Travis Bohannon, and our District Secretary, Clerk of the Board, Amelia Wilder. Next item is comments from the public. While I don't see anybody in the audience, Amelia, do you have any written comments from public?
I do not.
We'll move then to the next item, and we need Mark back in the room. Good timing, Mark. Joining us is Mark Matulich, our Director of Finance and Administration. Mark, we're up to agenda item number 3, discussing non-represented salaries.
Okay, thank you.
Before we started this morning, I asked Mark for a copy of the salary survey that our staff conducted. We have in our pay for performance manual, I believe is where the language resides. The district is required every 3 years to conduct a salary survey. There are a number of designated cities, counties, and special districts that we're directed to survey for our non-represented positions for comparative purposes. It is a point of reference. Our staff has, although that survey should have been conducted last year, I believe, we're doing a little catch-up, and staff has conducted that survey and has answers, or information rather, for most classifications from most of those agencies. And again, those are a point of reference. They aren't part of this packet. We may very well want to provide those to the board at the meeting on Wednesday, Mark.
Sure.
We'll talk about which of these two documents you shared with me should go to the board. But I understand, based on your analysis of the data that we received, you have a recommendation to make to this committee to then potentially pass on to the board?
I do, yes. And I do have a brief summary of the policy, the pay for performance policy, if that's okay to go through.
Sure.
And this is just a summary of that policy, but non-represented employees are covered by the district's pay for performance manual when it comes to salary ranges for each job class. And I believe currently we have 8 employees that fall under this. And the pay for each job class is determined by a salary survey of comparable public agencies. The survey is to be conducted no less than every 3 years, and the last survey was done in October 2021. So in non-survey years, adjustments to the salary ranges based on changes in the consumer price index will aid in keeping the salary structure competitive with the market. So the policy does call for adjustments based on the consumer price index when applicable. So there is that latitude for the board as well. The personnel committee reviews the data and makes recommendation to the board for salary range adjustments. The comparison agencies are selected by the board and can be changed at any time. At times, pay for a particular class may be altered by internal comparisons, even though survey data may indicate a higher or lower salary. The relationship between classes may also change as a result of reorganization of work or change in employee responsibilities. For the salary ranges, range placements were determined by establishing the control point, which is the closest amount to the market median number. And so what the median number is, or what median is it's just the middle number in a set of values. So for example, if we take the numbers 2, 5, and 8, 5 is the median number, as it is the middle value in that set of numbers. From there, the maximum of the range is 10% above the control point, and the minimum of the range is 20% below the control point. And then just some dates here. The district selected the month of April for reviews of non-represented employees, so this is very timely that we're talking about this now. Individuals hired within the first 9 months of the rating period, which would be May to January, will be eligible for a pro rata merit increase, and individuals hired within the last 3 months of the rating period, February through April, will receive, will not receive an annual performance review and will not be eligible for a merit increase. These are individuals that were just hired in the 3 months prior to the annual review period. Okay, so we have, I believe, up on the screen the survey, or the recommended ranges based on the survey. And so what you have there, we went ahead and we did the survey. And we did the survey picking or going through researching all the agencies in the survey group as spelled out in the policy. And those are cities like Davis, Roseville, Folsom, Woodland, Galt, Yuba City, Modesto, their special districts, Amador Water Agency, Groveland CSD, South Tahoe Public Utilities District, Calaveras County Water, Mammoth County Water, and Tuolumne Utilities District. And some of them had current salaries for 2024 or 2025. A lot of them had salaries that were posted as of 2023. I think the city of Galt, on my notes here, April 2022, so some of them were a little outdated. And we went ahead and we put those in to a table and we obtained ranges. And, you know, this is a wide-ranging group. And some of them are cities, which aren't exactly like the district here. Some of them are special districts, which, you know, don't have as many services as the district has. So, you know, I mean, it's a mix of cities and special districts. You know, every organization, every agency is unique. And when going through that process, taking the median amount from these groups and then getting a minimum and a maximum of the range, The ranges seemed to be pretty high for the district's budget. And so what we did is we went through and we excluded some of the higher ones, some of the ones that seemed a little bit above, you know, anything that the district would do just from a budgetary standpoint, and also just the size and type of agency that the district here is. And so after we went ahead and we excluded some of those higher amounts, we came up with a new control point for each position and a new minimum and a new maximum range for each position. And that's what you see in the table of ranges that was presented for consideration during this meeting. And I will say this is a three-year schedule. So these are ranges that are out there for 3 years, even though they can be adjusted for inflation at the board's discretion each year. They're out there for 3 years. And what this does is it allows the board to, I just want to double check one thing real quick here. Yeah, so what this does is this sets a range for these eight positions where the minimum is actually below the current salary for everybody on the list. The maximum provides the ability for a 5-8% salary increase each of the 3 years, roughly. And that, again, that's at the board's discretion. So it gives the board, these salary ranges give the board the latitude to evaluate these individuals' performance, rate them, and make a decision on roughly no salary increase to 5-8%, which I believe in the policy, the ranges of increases are 0-8%. So this allows the board to make those decisions each and every year should the board adopt these ranges.
You're talking 5-8% per year?
Yes.
Okay. And the other thing I was going to ask you if you could do, because I'm not sure that everybody recognizes that you can be a district, but one district is totally different than another district, and so you might be able to give some examples. For instance, El Dorado is only water, but it's big.
And not on our survey, even though it's immediately adjacent to us.
So I don't know if you would call it clarification, but maybe just an example of or a couple of examples of the districts that you have on here of what kind of services they're providing and the size of the district by comparison to us.
Well, that's a great point. I don't know all of these other agencies specifically, but these are the agencies that are in the policy.
I can help. Yeah. Three of them are clearly water agencies as indicated by their names. Mm-hmm. That's Amador, Calaveras, and Mammoth. I don't recall if Stupid, South Tahoe PUD, I don't recall if it's water and sewer or just water. But worked for a union that we represented that agency at one time, and that's how it was referred to by everybody, was Stupid. Groveland and Tuolumne, I'm not sure about either. Tuolumne Utilities is probably multiple, and I think Groveland probably is as well. The other thing, and so before we started the meeting today, I was talking about how in my work experience, having been involved with conducting salary and compensation surveys, and there is a difference. This is just one picture of or one piece of compensation. And looking only at salaries is only a piece of the puzzle, because there are other variables that create total comp, which includes the value of contributions to health and welfare, mm-hmm. the value of contributions to pension, the value of contributions, if any, to deferred comp, paid leaves, other perks, incentive pay. There's a whole variety of things that can factor into the total picture of comp, and wages or salary is just a piece of it. I also shared with some folks that in my experience there are different ways of conducting salary surveys. One is to look at just comparable agencies. That is, those that are similar in size, similar in mission, and the type of work that's performed. Another approach is to look at the relevant marketplace. Who do we compete with in the surrounding geographic area, or how broad an area? Clearly, general manager, CFO, your marketplace is going to be probably much greater than it might be for a utility supervisor or a security sergeant, just because of the nature of the work and the salary ranges. So, obviously you can look at a combination, and it looks like historically whoever set this policy up kind of did both. Although I find it interesting, EID's not here. I find it interesting, the state of California's not here, which are certainly marketplace competitors, theoretically. We can take this as a point of reference, and we'll we'll talk about the proposal that you've shared and what the board may do, you know, next week. But I also want to point out that looking at the agencies on our list, we really are largely comparing apples and oranges unless you want to look at the context of potential market. But if you're looking at potential market, city and county of Sacramento are lacking here. So I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me how this was set up. But I just did a real quick in study research. Folsom has a population of 85,000. I'm rounding. But Davis has a population of 67,000. Woodland has a population of 61,000. Roseville has a population of 159,000. Yuba City, 69,000. Galt, 26,000. Modesto, 219,000. And then the agencies, Amador County has got 42,000 people.
County.
The county. But I think the water serves the entire county, the water district. Although, I don't know, City of Jackson may have its own water. I don't know. Travis, do you know?
They have their own water.
Okay, Jackson does. Okay. So it's not the entire county population. And anyway, my point is that these agencies, the only one that's close to us in size is Mammoth at 7,000. And I just looked up Mammoth Lakes, which is the city of Mammoth, and that may or may not be, I suppose that's probably who's providing water to the city, is this Mammoth Community Water District. At 7,000 population, they're the closest in size to us. But I just want to point out that these are points of reference, and generally speaking, although not always the case, but generally speaking, larger agencies can afford to pay more money. and they're more competitive because they have more positions and they have to attract. We have a disadvantage of being remote in perception to a lot of people, and most people are going to have to commute in to work here, which is a factor that may or may not be evident in some of the cities or some of these other districts. But again, I just want to point out that these are all points of reference, and I think that I would like to suggest moving forward that we take a look at this policy and maybe take a look at restructuring the agencies that we look at and have some dialogue with the board in general about whether we want to look at a bigger picture of total comp or several factors at least of total comp. I don't think that we want to take the time now to do that, since we're right up against budget prep. Since what we are recommending to us here is to adjust our salary ranges in view of what our survey shows, and since you already made some adjustments somewhat based on the population because you took out some of the larger agencies, although maybe not all of them, just the higher paid ones. But again, those tend to be the larger agencies. Roseville, Folsom, Woodland, and Modesto are significantly larger. I mean, you know, to a factor of 10 or more bigger than we are in some cases. So I'm comfortable recommending to the board that we adjust our salary schedules as Mark has recommended, and then with the director of finance and admin, the director of operations, and the district secretary/clerk of the board, next Wednesday we're going to ask the board to prepare evaluations and make salary increase recommendations to the board. We have already asked the director of finance and administration and the director of operations to evaluate their staff and to make recommendations for salary to coincide with our budget. And so that's consistent with the process that you just spelled out in the policy, Mark. Is there anything else that you would like this committee to recommend to the board when this topic comes before them next Wednesday?
No, I think this will do it for now.
Director Butler, anything you would like to add or any questions you have?
No, thank you for doing this, of course, but I think Steve's covered some of the major points that we want to address before we get to the board, and you've answered my questions. And thank you, Travis, for answering my questions about staffing.
The only other question that I have, Mark, is we have additional administrative staff that work in this office that are not represented by a labor organization and are not on this list. They are, you know, line level staff. And do you have a recommendation as to what we should do about those salaries for those employees? I think that also is going to need to come before the board.
Are you referring to the two part-time?
Well, we have clerks, none of our accounting technicians or our accountant are represented by a union, are they?
They're on that schedule.
They're in the union.
Yes.
They're on the union.
Everyone.
Oh, they're represented by the union? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody except these eight.
I should have known that. All right. Yeah. So they're already covered in terms
of the budget?
Yes.
Okay. So they're already covered in terms of the collective bargaining agreement and our salary schedule for annual steps within the range.
That is correct. Yep, they're part of the schedule that's posted online.
Okay. I thought they were non-represented. I should know that.
Just one other thing. when we're looking at the budget and we're thinking in terms of possibly needing another person somewhere or two people or five people, how do you put that in the budget? Do you?
Well, I've met with everybody, all the directors here and management staff here, and there were no requests for additional staff. I mean, we did the amended security budget that was approved, so that's the same FTE level, and I'll present the FTE numbers so everybody knows in full-time equivalents, not necessarily headcount, what we're going to be paying for staffing. But there were no additional staff recommended for operations, no additional staff for the admin area.
And
yes. I met with everybody and we went through all the expenses and every aspect of what they thought they were going to spend in the next year.
So
no additional staffing.
Composition of this committee looked at a couple of personnel issues back in October. And there was a focus on the chief of plant and the utility supervisor in terms of their status. They are currently FLSA covered. They're hourly employees. They are paid standby and overtime because they have a significant amount of overtime and on-call work. And one of the things that Director Butler and I have had discussed before this meeting is whether we need another utility supervisor to share in some of that work, especially to the extent that, like, when we have weather like this where there may be a failure, and we would have two bodies that would help share some of that extra work time, or just during the regular, you know, work week would allow us to respond to multiple sites.
Okay.
Because we have experienced, I know right across the street from Director Butler's home, there was a leak and it took a long time to get to that.
They were trying to.
Right, yeah, just because they were doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other question that I had, and Travis did share with me because I asked him directly, he has a couple of plant operators that are working on upgrades to their certificates. And I'm wondering if we ought to be, not in this budget probably, because they don't have the licenses anyway, but maybe sometime into next year we ought to have a dialogue about creating one or two lead operators that might be able to fill in some of that on-call stuff, if nothing else. I know your senior guys aren't going to want to have to work shifts, but, you know what? We got a director of a chief of plant that's coming in on weekends and night times. Mm-hmm. So I just a couple of things to maybe have you follow up with Eric about.
Yes.
I would ask the question directly, could we use a utility supervisor, another one, mm-hmm. you know, in this budget year, and you know, can we finance it? If his answer is no, then his answer is no. He doesn't think he needs it. But, you know, we just thought that based on our lay person's experience from the outside, that might be something to look at. And again, I came up with the idea of lead operators because we talked about whether or not we should resurrect some of those issues that came up in October. We're not prepared to do that at this time. But we think there are some peripheral issues that maybe we ought to have some additional discussion about.
That sounds great. I'll have that conversation.
Two quick things. The question of the leaks, and it was presented a few months ago that we needed special meters to address the fact that we weren't getting to the leaks. And the bottom line, sorry, the bottom line to me is... It's not finding the leaks. They're finding us, and we find them. It's the response time. And so if water gets wasted, it's getting wasted because we are not able to respond as quickly as we would like to or we should. And that the other part of this is I don't think it's practical to not anticipate that we are going to need more people. We've been operating on the same number of people for, particularly in water operations, for quite a few years. And we're getting more people, we're getting an older infrastructure, and so things are going to have to be taken care of. And I think that this would be a good time to at least discuss that and to bring that up in terms of our budget and where can we find the money to, and then in anticipation, to do what we need to do.
I think it's a real timely observation. We have grown some where we hadn't really seen any growth for a long number of years. I suspect that that's more of an issue on the utility side because our distribution and collection facilities have grown. I don't know that that has a significant impact on the plant operations in terms of staffing. But I would think from the utility standpoint and the infrastructure out in and under the streets, and especially as we're looking at another 300 homes being built, you know, in the near term. I mean, the next, you know, maybe most of that during the term of this salary survey, if we don't can do another one, you know.
Sure.
So I think your comments are very timely, Linda, and I think it would be a really good idea to have some of that discussion, again, especially on the utility side. But again, my concern is not so much necessarily about adding staff on the plant side, but upgrading a position or two so that we have that licensed coverage I will note for the record that in October, when this issue first came up about maybe changing the FLSA status of the chief of plant, at that point in time, Travis Bohannon had already worked $24,000 worth of overtime. And while that's not enough to occupy a position, it certainly indicates a significant amount of time, which seems inordinate, that we could relieve some of that. Not to take money out of your pocket, Travis, but to relieve you of some of that time demand. You know, give you some of that workload life balance.
Turn the phone off.
You know, we might accomplish that with a lead operator, and that's that's been percolating in my mind ever since I read, you know, those meeting minutes back in October. So.
And Travis, you mentioned that one more person in that position, or in a position in utilities. I'm sorry, not utilities, in maintenance.
Yes.
So I will talk with Eric about a second utility supervisor, possibly for the 25-26 budget cycle, and then we'll start the conversation on lead operators and maybe another mechanic for the 26-27 and in the future.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably the mechanic position is probably, I think we only have one.
Yes.
And I don't know, he's a very long-term employee. I don't know how much more time he's going to give us, but I think we should be also thinking about succession planning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can I just real quick, when you brought up the utility supervisor, a while back ago, it's kind of the same conversation. Kind of the same conversation than like having two chief plant operators. I don't feel you should have two utility supervisors because then there can be contradicting things needed to be done. I feel a lead utility worker would be appropriate. That way you just have one person making the decision.
Point well taken. And in my own experience, for example, with Caltrans, you know, you have a supervisor over a crew that may have two or three lead workers.
Right.
And you could divide that crew up, have the supervisor have your muster meeting in the morning, and send part of a crew out with a lead to two different locations, have a supervisor oversee a third, and you get a lot more coverage. And with the staff that we have, I agree, if we had a lead that could go out, and again, if we're going to put somebody in responsible charge of making the decisions on the site.
Right.
And I'm just talking about who operates which piece of equipment, what sequence we perform the work, that would be appropriate for a lead level employee and should carry some additional compensation. And that was my thinking. I said utility supervisor. What I really was thinking about, somebody that would assist and take on part of that day-to-day operational and maybe could respond to an emergency after hours in lieu of having to call the supervisor out every time.
Yeah.
That was my thinking.
Yeah, I just wanted...
And I think that was what you were suggesting as well.
I just wanted clarification,
Mark, not the utility supervisor, but another position in there, whether it's a lead, and we think there's maybe a need for a mechanic as we're expanding infrastructure out there, the maintenance guy. Mm-hmm. But so let's have that discussion with Mark, with Eric, and if he thinks he's good for this fiscal year, fine.
Okay.
But I do want to revisit, especially if either of our operators obtain their grade threes, I think are the next levels. I'd really like to revisit at this committee the potential of establishing a lead operator classification, rewarding individuals for getting that higher grade, and also, like I say, relieving Travis of some of the sometimes inordinate after-hours responsibility.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Is that it?
I will put this on the agenda as an action item so the board can approve this new salary schedule. Are those your wishes?
Please.
Very good.
Please.
Thank you.
For Wednesday, yes.
Okay.
All right. If the
item 25.
Yeah. I think it's already there. Another matter.
Okay.
I don't think it was an action item. I think it was listed originally as an information. So we want to make it an action item. Please make that modification to the draft that I saw earlier. Is there any other business to come before this committee? If not, we will adjourn. It is 10:03 a.m.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to grab my mouse.